one of my favorite Christian authors and preachers of another day was a guy named A.W. Tozer. And I love his writings. And one of the things he said in his book, The Knowledge of the Holy, he said this. He wrote that what comes into our minds when we think about God is the most important thing that can be said about us. Let me say that again. What comes into our minds when we think about God is the most important thing that can be said about us. So let me ask you today, what comes into your mind when you think about God? When you just consider the concept of God, who He is, what He does, your relationship with Him, what comes into your mind when you think about God? Do you think about His love and His compassion? You know, Jesus Christ came to this earth so that we could know God. You know, Jesus one time said, "This is eternal life, that they may know You, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom You have sent." Jesus came so that we could know God, that we could have a relationship with God. And one of the things we clearly see about Jesus in our story today is that we see God's compassion. Now, Derek read for us just a moment ago that same account from the Gospel of Luke. We're going to look at it from the Gospel of Mark. And when he read that, I was looking at Mark's account while he was reading Luke's account. And one of the things I noticed while he was reading was that Mark puts in something that Luke does not. And one of the things that Mark puts in that Luke does not is he says that Jesus had compassion on him, on this leper that comes to be healed. It says Jesus had compassion on him. And so today we're going to see how Jesus responds to a man who is a leper, has leprosy. Now, for a Jew, leprosy was the ultimate in uncleanness. And this incident is going to leave us with a couple lessons. We're going to get to those down at the end. But let me just kind of give you a heads up as to what your lesson is going to be so you can watch for it as we study this scripture today. One lesson has to do with how we treat others who are in undesirable circumstances. How we treat people who are in a bad way. Okay? The other lesson has to do with the realization that Jesus is willing and able to cleanse people today when they humbly come before Him. So those are the two things I want you to kind of watch for as we look at this lesson today. The story begins in Mark chapter 1, verse 40. And follow along with me as I read that to you from Mark's account. It says, "Now a leper came to Him, imploring Him, kneeling down to Him, and saying to Him, 'If You are willing, You can make me clean.' Then Jesus, moved with compassion, stretched out His hand and touched him and said to him, 'I am willing, be cleansed.' And as soon as He had spoken, immediately the leprosy left him and he was cleansed. And He strictly warned him and sent him away at once and said to him, 'See that you say nothing to anyone, but go your way, show yourself to the priest, and offer for your cleansing those things which Moses commanded as a testimony to them.' However, he went out and began to proclaim it freely, to spread the matter so that Jesus could no longer openly enter the city, but was outside in deserted places, and they came to him from every direction. Let's pray together. Father, we come to You asking that You would teach us from Your holy word today. Speak to us of Your compassion and Your ability to save. In Jesus' name, amen. So in this story, here we have this man who had leprosy. And now, in the Bible, both in the Old Testament and in the New Testament, the word leprosy was a broad term that covered any variety of skin diseases. The very worst of those diseases was what we know as leprosy today, a condition that's also called Hansen's disease. We don't know how severe the problem was that this man who had leprosy, we don't know how severe his problem was, but let's just assume today that this man had what we consider today to be leprosy or Hansen's disease. This disease is a horrible disease. Now, here in the United States, very few people contract this disease or are affected by it. But in places all over the world, people do have this disease. It's estimated the worldwide there are about 12 million people that are affected with leprosy or Hansen's disease today. When we were in Nepal, we went to the leprosy hospital. There, outside of Kathmandu, Nepal, there is a leprosy hospital, and much of the research that is done in the worldwide for the disease of Hansen's disease or leprosy is done right there in that hospital outside of Kathmandu, Nepal. And we were able to see some of the people, some of the patients there, and we were able to pray with some of them and to lay hands on them. And we also went to another day, we went to a leper colony, place where years ago the people would be sent away from their villages and homes and went and lived in this colony that was just for people who had leprosy or were leprosy affected. And we met many of those people, and there is a church right there in the leprosy colony where people know Jesus Christ and love Him. And from that church, God has sent out missionaries all over the country of Nepal, and God is still doing great things for people who have leprosy. But leprosy, let's talk about it just a little bit so you kind of have an understanding of it. It usually begins, it's caused by a bacterial infection. Okay, it is this little bug, a little bacteria that causes this disease. And it usually begins with little white specks. They can show up on the palms of a person's hands, or sometimes on their face or eyelids, sometimes on their feet. And then it begins to spread all over the body. It often bleaches the hair white. And it covers the skin with nodules and scales and oozing sores. Some of you are going, already your stomach's beginning to turn. And it is, because it's a horrible disease. But that's just what happens on the surface. Down under the skin, leprosy is beginning to have its most drastic effects. Because what it does is it goes in and it attacks the nerves in your body. And soon the victim loses the sense of touch and the sense of pain, and especially in the extremities. They begin to lose feeling and touch in their fingers and their hands, their toes and their feet. Sometimes their nose and their ears. It begins to affect them so that they cannot feel anymore. Now you might think, well, you know, that's not so bad. You know, I was walking through the kitchen the other night in the dark and stubbed my toe on a chair, and I felt like it would be a really good thing if I didn't have that sense of pain on my toe, you know. But you think about it. What happens is, you know, if a person has lost the feeling in their hands and their feet, if they stub their toe or it gets too close to the fire and gets burned or something like that, they don't feel it. And so, therefore, they don't treat it. And it gets infected. And oftentimes, people will end up losing fingers and toes and noses and ears and other extremities because they get infected and they can't do anything about it. They don't know to do anything about it. And so, it's when a person has this disease, they will often end up being disfigured. And when we were in Nepal, we visited that leprosy hospital, and many of the leprosy affected patients there were missing fingers or toes. Many of them, the nerves were so shot that their hands just kind of shrivel up. They get what is called a claw hand, and their hand just does this. They can't straighten their hand out. Okay. In fact, that's some of the therapy that they do with the leprosy-affected patients is helping them to be able to straighten their hand out and being able to use their hands again because they lose the ability to even control their fingers. Many of them, their feet do the same things. Their feet curl up and they can't walk because of that. And so they're, you know, in the hospital there, they're teaching them to walk again. But you know, in fact, I was talking to one of the doctors there, and they said that one of the things that happens sometimes is that, you know, patients will wake up, you know, they're at home or and they have this disease in their hut, and they'll wake up in the morning and they're missing, a finger or a toe or something like that, just disappeared in the middle of the night. And how did that happen? Well, they found out that sometimes the rats come in, chew off a piece of a person's finger, and they don't even know it because they don't even feel it. This is how that disease affects people. And you can imagine the fear and the stigma that goes along with this disease. Even today, when we were talking with one of the ladies in the leprosy hospital there, she was weeping and crying because her family had disowned her. She has children and grandchildren. She never gets to see them. She can't go back home. They won't allow her to do that. The family has just shunned her. And it affected her so deeply. She just wept and cried over the fact that she couldn't see her family, and she loved them so much. And there she sits on that hospital bed, and it just tore her up inside. And this is what that disease does even today. Today, of course, there is a cure for leprosy. It's not an easy cure. There are several different drugs that they will give a person to deal with the infection and with the bacteria that causes it. And eventually that bacteria can be killed. Sometimes the treatment takes several months of these special antibiotics and drugs that they would give them. But it can be cured. The problem with it is that even though the disease can be cured, the effects of it are often, you know, there for the rest of your life. If you lost a finger, that finger will not grow back, you know. If you have lost your feeling and that's gone on for more than a year, those effects cannot be reversed. And so people will live as, even though they no longer have leprosy, they will live as leprosy affected for the rest of their life. And that's a very tough thing for people to deal with. But in the Bible days, there was no cure for leprosy. And so in the Old Testament, in the book of Leviticus, sets forth some very strict information and instructions regarding those who had skin diseases, and particularly those who had leprosy. And because there was no other way to slow the spread of the disease other than dealing with it very severely. And so in the society in which Jesus lived, they went to great lengths to separate those who were clean from those who were unclean. And there were clear-cut boundaries between the two. Now, in Leviticus, leprosy is the most serious form of uncleanness. There were other forms of uncleanness that you can read about in Leviticus if you get really excited about reading Leviticus. You can read about the uncleanness that could be caused by touching an unclean animal. You know, if you did that, well, that was a simple thing. You simply had to wait until sundown and then go through a ceremonial washing and you would be clean again. Other forms of uncleanness resulted from things like the birth of children. You know, the woman would be unclean for a certain period of time, and there would have to be a cleansing and an offering of sacrifice for that in order for her to be clean again. But leprosy was different. You see, all the other forms of uncleanness required a person to stay away from the temple. They couldn't go there to worship and those kind of things. But leprosy required the person to be separated from society. They had to go and live outside the village or the city to be utterly cut off from the congregation of Israel. Leviticus chapter 13, verses 45 and 46 says this: "Now the leper on whom the sore is, his clothes shall be torn, his head bare, he shall cover his mustache," and cry, in other words, cover his face, "and cry out, 'Unclean, unclean,' and he shall be unclean. And all the days he has the sore, he shall be unclean. He is unclean, and he shall dwell alone. His dwelling shall be outside the camp." And so the leper, dressed like a mourner, going to a burial service, his own burial service. It was like he was dead to the rest of the world. And he is to constantly cry out, "Unclean, unclean," everywhere he goes. And so you can imagine that this leper that Jesus meets, he's walking down the street. Everywhere he goes, he is shunned. Little children look at him and they run away scared. Older children, you know, keep their distance and maybe throw rocks at him and make cutting remarks about him. Adults walk way far away from him to avoid getting anywhere close, lest they should become unclean as well. A leper had to live in exile, away from everyone else in society. He was excluded from the sacrifices, from the religious festivals, from the worship services. In many ways, he was not only separated from other people, but he was also separated from God. And so here he lives outside the city, without love, without hope, without the simple joys and dignities of life. And as I read about this leper in Mark chapter 1, I wonder, how long has it been since someone has shaken his hand or given him a pat on the back or put his arm around his waist or hugged him or touched his cheek or wiped away a tear or kissed him? Truth is, all of those things were just a mere memory for this poor man. But one day, he heard about a man named Jesus. He heard that this man could make sick people well. He heard that he could make the lame people to walk. He could open the eyes of the blind. He cast demons out of people and they were made well. And so the leper comes to him in verse 40. And here we have the request of the leper. He says, "A leper came to him, imploring him, kneeling down to him, and saying to him, 'If you're willing, you can make me clean.'" Now notice that Jesus doesn't come to the leper. The leper comes to Jesus. Remember, this was a violation of the rules of the Old Testament. The leper was to stay away from everyone else. He was to shout, "Unclean!" But instead, he comes up to Jesus. He kneels down to him. And he says, "Make me clean." Now notice he doesn't say, heal my disease. He says, make me clean. And while those things may seem to be one and the same, there's a subtle difference between the two, between a healing and a cleansing. You see, the leper's disease was what caused him to be unclean. And it separated him from everyone else. He needed a cleansing, is what he really needed. I think there is, within this leper's request, there's a, you can kind of see, you know, he's been so separated from everything else. There's a cry of, you know, I want to be whole. I want to be restored, cleansed. I want to be able to worship God again with God's people. I want to be a part of my family again. I want to sit in the synagogue and sing with others again. I want to touch people again and to have them touch me. I want to be clean. That's what the leper is asking for. Now, of course, he wants physical healing, but becoming clean was much more important than just being healed. And so the leper falls on his knees before Jesus and he begs him, he pleads with him. That's what the word says. He implores him, he pleads with him. If you are willing, make me clean. And his words tell us three things about this leper. First of all, it tells us he knows he cannot heal himself. He can't make himself clean. He probably has never seen or heard of a leper being cured before. In the whole Old Testament, you know how many people were cured of leprosy that we read about in the Old Testament? Two. You have Moses' sister Miriam, and you have Naaman, the leper. That's it. In the whole Old Testament, two people. Probably in the history of the world, those were the only two people that they had ever seen or heard of that had ever been cured of this terrible disease. And now this man comes and he knows that apart from Jesus and his miraculous power, there is no hope for him. It's completely helpless. And so, the first thing we notice about him is he's helpless. Absolutely helpless, and he knows it. It's a good condition to be in, by the way. It's a good condition to know when you're helpless. Because then you don't spend all that time and effort and energy trying to help yourself when you can't. When there's nothing you can do about it. It's sort of like worrying, you know. There are a lot of you that worry too much. And worrying can't change anything, you know. And this man knew he couldn't change anything. Now, it says the second thing I think that we notice about this man is that he believes in Jesus' power. He says, if you are willing, you can make me clean. He believes Jesus is able to do it. He believes with all of his heart that Jesus is the one person in all the world who can cleanse him. And it's not just, you can heal me of leprosy. It's you can do it all for me. You can cleanse me. You know, sometimes we believe that God is able to help him, able to help her. We think, you know, I'm not sure God can do anything for me. This man believed Jesus could do it for him, that he had the power to do it. Thirdly, he shows submission to God's will. The leper says, if you will, you can make me clean. And he had no idea whether Jesus was willing or not. But his request showed a certain level of spiritual maturity because, no doubt, you know, this man desperately wanted to be clean, and yet he leaves the cleansing in the hands of Jesus. He knows it's up to Jesus. He makes no demands. He has no basis for his request other than Jesus' mercy and his goodness. And so he says, if you are willing. And so what was the response? How did Jesus respond to this man? It says in verse 41, then Jesus, moved with compassion, stretched out his hand and touched him and said to him, I am willing, be cleansed. And as soon as he had spoken, immediately the leprosy left him and he was cleansed. Jesus granted the leper's request. Not slowly or in stages. In fact, it says immediately he was healed, right? He was cleansed. Right then and there, the leprosy left him. Now, I want to notice just a couple phrases in here that just kind of really stuck out at me. First of all, it was the one that we saw that's in Mark that's not in Luke. And that is, he was moved with compassion. It wasn't that Jesus just looked at him and said, oh, I see you need something. Come on over here. I'm going to help you out. No, the word compassion there suggests a deep feeling. It's a feeling you get in your gut. You know, some of you know that feeling. You know, when you see your little child hurt and bleeding and all of a sudden, where does it get you? It gets you right there in the gut, doesn't it? It's just, you're just moved, you know, with compassion. That's the word that he uses here. Jesus was moved to his gut with compassion. He felt for this man deeply. You know, 10 times in the Gospels, we're told that Jesus had compassion, felt it deeply for people. Jesus had compassion. What that means is that Jesus hurt when people hurt. Do you ever think that God feels it when we hurt? He does. And it bothered Jesus to see people suffering. It bothered him to see people in need. It touched his heart when someone came to him and said, please help me. Now, I know, you know, when we think about this, it's easy to say, oh, yes, I know, Jesus cared. Of course he cared. But I don't want to go past this point too quickly. Don't take it for granted. Think just a moment about how all of the other religious leaders and teachers dealt with people like this. Jesus told a story in Luke chapter 10 about a man who was beaten and robbed and left for dead on the side of the road. And the religious people, the priests and the Levites, came by and they went out of their way to go away on the other side of the road so that they would not get anywhere close to that guy, lest, you know, they could become unclean or something. And yet Jesus goes out of his way not just to heal the man, but he goes out of his way to stretch out his hand and to touch him. Can you imagine? This leper probably had not been touched by another human being in who knows how long. And Jesus touches him. Now, Jesus didn't have to touch him in order to heal him. You know, we can read in the Gospels another story where there were 10 lepers that came up to Jesus to be healed. Jesus doesn't touch a one of them. He tells them to go on their way, and as they were going on their way, they were healed. You know, Jesus could heal long distance. You know, He could heal with a word. He could heal with a thought. And yet Jesus reached out, stretched out His hand, and He touched this man. Because that man needed it. Because he wanted to show how much he cared. Because he wanted to break down the barriers that separated this man from other people and from God. So, he touches him. Isn't that beautiful? And so he touches the man and he heals him. I'm so thankful for that. You know, that Jesus cares that much. So there's one other thing that I notice about this. It says that he was immediately, the leprosy left him, and he was cleansed. Now there were two results. It says immediately the disease left him, and he was cleansed. He healed him, that's the physical, and he was cleansed. That's the emotional and the spiritual part of it, I think. This man wanted to be back in society. He wanted to be able to worship God. He wanted to have that relationship back, and Jesus gave him the ability to do that. He cleansed him. Jesus made that all possible. Well, let's conclude. There are just two applications I want to bring out in this story today. We could make a whole lot more, but I just want to kind of emphasize two things with you today. And first of all, I want us to come away from this lesson with an appreciation for the compassion that Jesus showed. And because we have a Savior, a God, who shows compassion, as the servant of God, Jesus Christ, comes and cares about people, what does that say then about those of us who know Jesus Christ, those of us whom the Spirit of God has come to live in us because we have been saved by Jesus? We are now the servants of God. So what does that say about how we are to live? It means that we have to be committed as a people to be a people of compassion to all the lepers around us. Now, like I said, here in the United States, we don't deal with leprosy that much. But you know, there are a lot of people that are just like this leper, that are just kind of shunned and left out. They feel alone. They feel isolated. They feel cut off from other people and from God. And they need someone to show compassion. They need someone to touch them, to care about them. Are you that person? You know, in our contemporary society, we have our own unclean people. And though they may not be lepers, they feel that way because they're treated that way by, you know, so-called clean people. You know, if you talk with someone who has AIDS, or maybe the mentally or physically handicapped, those in a nursing home sometimes, you'll find that a lot of these people feel just like that leper did. They feel cut off. They feel alone. They feel isolated. They feel helpless and hopeless. And it's not just the physical suffering that people go through. There's plenty of that. but it's the isolation, it's the loneliness, it's the feeling that nobody cares. And as the body of Christ, we are to be a people of compassion. I don't think I can stress that too strongly today. I realize, you know, we can't take personal responsibility for every tragedy that we see. But neither can we afford to shut our eyes to the people that God cares about. He does care. Jesus showed it. And so I challenge you to leave the building today with a commitment to show compassion every time you have that opportunity this week. Sometimes you may have to go out of your way to show compassion. To go to where some of those people are that need it. Secondly, the other thing I just want to stress this morning is this. I want us to come away from this story with the realization that Jesus still has the power to cleanse. You know, in many ways, sin is like leprosy. You know, like sin, leprosy is deeper than the skin. It spreads. Sin does its worst damage by eating away at us, penetrating deep inside, causing us eventually to lose all feeling towards those things that are good and right and lovely and beautiful and godly. Sin will cause us to be isolated from God's people and from God Himself. And eventually, like leprosy, sin will destroy. And maybe a more important similarity is that just like the leper, there's absolutely nothing we can do on our own to get rid of the sin that is in us. All we can do is to come to Jesus. Just as this leper did, all we can do is say, if you are willing, you can make me clean. You know, in verse 44, Jesus told the man, see that you say nothing to anyone, but go your way, show yourself to the priest, and offer for your cleansing those things which Moses commanded as a testimony to them. In the Old Testament book of Leviticus, you can look at chapter 14, and you will find that there it gives instructions for what to do in case someone was cleansed of leprosy. If a leper was cleansed, there was to be an offering that was made. The one that was healed had to be examined by the priest, by the high priest, who would take two clean birds. They would take one of these birds and hold it over a bowl of water that had a piece of cedar wood and a scarlet thread and some hyssop, kind of a brush-like thing in it. And it would have this bowl of water, and they would take this clean bird and they would kill the bird and let the blood drip into the water that was in that bowl. Then they would take the other bird, the live bird, and they would dip that bird in the bowl with the water and the blood, and then they would set that bird free. Watch it float away into the heavens. And then they would take that thing of hyssop, dip it in the water and blood, and they would sprinkle it on the man who had had the leprosy, the cleansed one. A few days later, they would offer the sacrifices of a couple lambs and take that blood and put it in certain places on the man's ear and his toe, and he would be cleansed. It was quite a ritual. took several days to complete all of this. And you might think, well, why was all that required? Well, it was intended to show us a picture of the future work of Jesus Christ, the Son of God, and how He would cleanse us from the leprosy of sin. How Christ would die for us, shedding His own blood. When He died on that cross, it says, blood mixed with water poured out of His side when they put that spear into His side. Blood mixed with water. And He would shed His blood and He would be raised from the dead and ascend into heaven like that bird going up into the sky. And by His blood, He would cleanse us of sin. What a beautiful picture of what Jesus does for us. You know, today, if you feel alone and isolated and hurt and shut out or unworthy, or you know the sin that is in you, and it's eating you up from the inside out, would you do what the leper did? Would you forget all of those barriers? Would you just run to Jesus? Fall down before Him and say, if You are willing, You can make me clean. Would you let Him touch you this morning and heal you and cleanse you so that you could have that relationship with God forever? Would you do that today? We're going to have a time of invitation. I'm going to ask you to stand as we go to the Lord in prayer. Father, I ask God that You would speak to us this morning of the ugliness and the destructive power of sin, and the beautiful, wonderful cleansing blood of Jesus. Father, I pray that if there's someone here today that is still lost in their sin and rebellion against God, Father, I pray that today they would run to Jesus, fall at His feet, and by Your blood, You would cleanse them, make them whole again. Give them a new life as they trust that Jesus died and was raised from the dead for them. Oh Lord, speak to us today who already know Jesus, that we might be filled with that compassion to give that message to others. In Jesus' name, amen. We're going to sing number 249 as we do. You come. You make that decision that God has called you to make. Come to Jesus. Come to Him for compassion, and He will cleanse you.